Notre Dame is burning. That was the essence of the text I received Monday afternoon. Notre Dame is burning. Notre Dame, a symbol of religious faith across the ages, the will to do something great and difficult, and of France's gloried past, was burning. Think about all the prayers prayed in that building during its long history. Of all the cathedrals in the world, I think Notre Dame is in a category by itself. While I love the quirkiness and whimsy of Sagrada Familia in Barcelona, Notre Dame embodies deep faith and mystery shared across generations. The fact that proudly secular France was on her knees praying and singing hymns as Notre Dame burned tells you something about its spiritual resonance. Notre Dame on fire is also a fitting symbol for our age and the moment that we're in. For despite the fact that we're living longer, fewer people are living in poverty, and fewer people are dying from violence than ever before, many people feel as though the world they once knew is going up in flames. This morning alone, Easter Sunday, more than 200 people have died in 8 separate bombings in churches and hotels in Sri Lanka. In our own country, 3 Baptist churches in Louisiana were set on fire. Cynicism, born out of broken promises, frayed communal trust, and failed leadership has emerged. As companies have downsized and outsourced, many people have watched their jobs, homes, and dreams disappear. Washington is broken. Our 2 main political parties seem unable to work together for the common good. Around the world, millions daily experience betrayal by leaders who value power and money more than people. The lies our culture tells us, laid out clearly in a recent New York Times article by David Brooks, don't help. They include, I can make myself happy. Life is an individual journey. You have to find your own truth. And rich and successful people are worth more than poorer and less successful people. All of them are lies leading to isolation, disillusionment, and disappointment, but many Americans have bought into them. The thin spirituality that comes from making it up as you go, cobbling together a faith from disparate sources, is in striking contrast to the depth of tradition represented by Notre Dame. Our gospel story from Luke, like the lives of so many people in our world right now, begins with sorrow and confusion. The women who had followed Jesus from Galilee traveled to the tomb to prepare his body for burial. They are mourning the death of the one who brought them life and hope. They're probably assuming that the promises he made to them are now broken. When the women arrive at the tomb, they find that the stone has been rolled away. How strange. When they go into the tomb, Jesus' body is nowhere to be found. Where is his body? What has happened nothing is as expected. As hard as it was to acknowledge Jesus' death, this is even worse. Jesus is dead, and his body is missing. Their confusion is interrupted by the presence of two men in dazzling clothes. The women are terrified, and they bow their faces to the ground. The men say, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen." They remind the women of what Jesus once promised them, that he would rise again on the third day. The women then go back and tell the 11 what they saw and experienced. The men don't believe them. Too many promises have already been broken. The thought of believing again, especially in something so outrageous, seems out of the question. Peter, however, runs to the tomb. He enters it and sees the linen cloths Jesus was wrapped in lying on the ground. The passage ends with the following words: "He went home, amazed at what had happened." The Easter story begins with confusion and ends with wonderment. Wonderment is a rarity in our jaded culture, and yet on this day we are put face to face with it. What does it mean to move from a place of disappointment and despair to a posture of wonderment? What the disciples of Jesus experienced on that first Easter morning as they confronted the empty tomb, and especially later as they encountered and touched the risen Jesus, is the possibility that there is another end to the human story than those that surround us in our culture. Throughout human history, there have been many stories that promise how human life ends. There is the story in modern Western culture that technological and material progress will yield a world of perfect harmony, productivity, health, and happiness for all. We now know this is a false promise. We see a very different story playing out in the 21st century, a violent, painful, and divisive one, in which our planet's survival is at stake. Many societies have told stories, sometimes compelling and seductive ones, about how life turns out. There's the story that might makes right, that what you earn or own defines your value, that those who lose out in life's great race to the top are worthless. Jesus told a different story. In the life he lived and the community which formed around him, a different way was embodied for the world to see. A way in which the poor were recognized as of equal dignity with the rich and close to God. A way in which reconciliation between all sorts of people became a living reality. A way in which forgiveness, healing, and liberation were practiced. This community began to be a tangible sign of a different set of promises than the false ones all around. Yet when Jesus himself was a victim of violence, empire, and cruelty, and executed as a criminal by the powers that be, those hopes seemed to be dashed. How could his friends and followers carry on when he too had been crushed by this world? But the story doesn't end there. And we stand with those friends before an empty tomb in wonderment. The raising of Jesus from the dead is God's tangible, concrete assurance that God's promises in Jesus are true, that death is not the last word, that every human being, especially the most vulnerable, is precious beyond measure, that injustice and violence will not ultimately prevail. We, like those disciples, are confronted with a reality that invites us to move from confusion and cynicism to wonderment. Wonderment at God's power and presence in a world that seems so often void of it. Wonderment at the strange and surprising ways in which new life emerges from the places of death. Wonderment at the fact that in Jesus, all of humanity is promised resurrection and restoration in a just and merciful community. This morning, I invite you to turn with Mary of Magdala, Joanna, the other Mary, Peter, and so many others throughout time, from despair to hope, from cynicism to trust, from disappointment to faith, from isolation to community. For in the resurrection of Jesus, God has turned us and all of humanity from death to life. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Amen.